Good morning, everybody. Now turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 11. Great to be back. And heard great reports. Congregation doing great, which is awesome. It's one, it's encouraging. You know, the Second John is written to the chosen lady and her children. And John, the apostle and the elder, is excited to hear of her children walking in truth. And you read through that, it's truth and love. And there's no greater joy than to have the brethren who are walking in truth and love. And so, just appreciative always of this congregation. You guys are great. And it's interesting, I leave, man, and there's more preachers coming out of the woodwork. So I think there's three messages this morning. I thought Mikkel preached a great one in his stewardship. Mark preached a great one in his Lord's Supper. And I am going to preach a short one, bro. But I'll preach one today and you guys can decide if it's great. By the way, speaking of great, I started adult Bible school class on this morning on the book of Acts. And so I think it's going to be good. So if you guys are dragging your feet for whatever reasons to haven't been hitting the Bible school class, we're going to be in Acts chapter 9 because we left off before, we reviewed a little bit today. But Acts chapter 9 is where we're going to be, and it's a good time to start a new habit. Start coming if you haven't been. So it's great. Also, I need to show of hands really quick. Who's planning on being here next Lord's Day? Hey, I know we have... So I know most of the brethren are going to be in Bozeman for family camp. So maybe one more time, just hold up your hands real quick for me. Who will be here next Lord's Day? So it's going to be short, guys, next Lord's Day. There will be no Sunday school class. We're going to go from 10:15. It'll go probably from 10:15 to 11. So I'm going to send Lorenzo and Caleb back. Caleb will have a little... we won't have stewardship. There will just be a few songs. And then Caleb will do a Lord's Supper meditation, and Lorenzo the message. She'll probably be from like 10:15 to 11. Okay? So, just everybody's on the same page that way. All right, let's get in here. Romans chapter 11, verses 25 through 27. Romans 11, 25 through 27. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And thus all Israel will be saved, just as is written, the Deliverer will come from Zion, he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. We're thankful for the truth that we find therein. We're appreciative, Father, to see your hand throughout history. Really from the beginning, from the creation, as you're working with your people, as you brought the nation of Israel into existence miraculously, Lord, building to the fullness of time when you sent your Son into this world to pay the price for the sins of all of mankind, both past, present, and future. Lord, that you that had a plan for real spiritual Israel, your people, your church. We're just thankful, Father, to see your hand throughout history, to see your plan, and to be privileged to be a part of that. I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that I communicate it clearly, Lord, and that we would all understand what a blessing it is to be a part of this new covenant that you have given for all those whom you've forgiven of their sins. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I am going to be fast here. I know it's been a few weeks since I've been in Romans, but in Romans chapter 11, specifically, guys, the church in Rome was made up of both Jewish and Gentile Christians. And there's some conflict there. Hey, the Jewish Christians had a tendency to think, hey, we're the ones that God has always chosen. We're special. Paul goes through, hey, there were some advantages to being a Jew. Hey, Mark had mentioned in his Lord's Supper meditation, what about people who have been raised in the church? Hey, there are some advantages to being raised in the church. There are also some difficulties, inherent difficulties that come with that. There were some advantages to being a Jew. what they were given, the promises that they were given, the covenant that was very clearly manifested to them. So the Jewish Christians sometimes had a tendency to be maybe a little bit arrogant and a little bit condescending toward their Gentile brethren, and actually even expecting some of their Gentile brethren to follow the law, the laws of Moses. Well, then Paul shifted gears to the Gentiles and how Israel, through their rebellion, God rejected largely, well, let's put it the right way, the Jews rejected the Lord. The Jews rejected Christ, the majority of Jews. And so God then came to the Gentiles. He brought this message to the Gentiles. Well, then you have the Gentiles who are saying, hey, we're the ones really that God's plan was for all along. And so the Gentiles are getting, maybe the Gentile Christians getting a little bit puffed up and looking condescendingly towards their brethren who had been Jews. And so, you know, God in this particular section, He's really working on the humble and thankful attitude of the Gentiles. If you, the section leading up to this is, don't be arrogant. It's not you that supports the root supports you. Brethren, I don't care, any of us here, I don't care what our background was, I don't care, you know, all the talk about race and all this stuff, we came from one blood. There was actually somebody who said this a while back. It's not a skin issue, it's a sin issue. That is the issue. And the reality of it is, if we are in Christ Jesus, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither slave nor free man. There's neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, implicit in that is, whatever other one or separations that humans want to make, those are removed in the body of Christ. Rich, poor, cool, uncool, you know, whatever the way the world works. That stuff's gone. And I'm thankful for the church, because it doesn't matter. In the first century, you could be a slave and an elder in the Lord's church. You can be a poor person who walks in righteousness, and you are respected in the body of Christ. That's the way it's supposed to be, because Christ makes all of us new. I love this body. I want us to continue to have that attitude and do even better that way, to where we view each other, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We are one in Christ Jesus. So God is working, though, on these Gentile Christians, reminding them, hey, if God jerked some of those Jews out of His plan because of the rebellion against Him, you don't think He would do the same to anybody? He said, hey, you stand by your faith. Hey, we are here and we stand because of our faith in Jesus Christ. He's the one who makes us stand. So, He says, I don't want you, though, to be uninformed of a mystery. Now, guys, there's a big mystery. I don't have time to preach on that this morning. The big mystery of the Old Testament is that the Gentiles would actually get to be fellow partakers of the Holy Spirit. That God's plan was for Gentiles to be included. The message of Christ was going to be for all the nations, not just for the Jews. So that's the big mystery. I don't have time. If you have questions about that, please talk with me. I can, or maybe read Ephesians chapter 3. We'll give you a quick overview of that. But there's a little mystery here that Paul wants to open their minds to see it, and that is that there was a partial hardening of the physical nation of Israel. It's interesting. The great God, who has this amazing eternal plan, who brings the Jewish nation into existence miraculously in the first place, builds them from a people into a nation, sets them free from the land of Egypt, continues to work with them and build with them to the coming of Christ. This amazing God has a plan to bring about, ultimately, Christianity. But there's a challenge with that. And the challenge with that is that Judaism could now become a competitor to God's full eternal plan. And so, one of the things that God is doing here is He is interested in the souls of individual Jews. We've seen that as we've been going through Romans. God cares about individual Jews. They are able to become Christians. He wants them to become Christians. At the same time, guys, God has to destroy the Jewish system so it won't compete with the real system of Christianity. And so there's this partial hardening that's come upon Israel so that God's plan can be made complete. You know, Christ had warned prior to his death of the destruction that would come on Jerusalem in 70 AD. You can read it in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. I'll just give you a little freebie here on the side. A lot of people misunderstand Matthew chapter 24. They think of it as it's all about the end days, the time of Christ's second coming. Really, Matthew 24 is primarily about the destruction of Jerusalem that was coming in 70 AD. Jesus does touch on his final return. But the context, the way the questions are asked in there, he's primarily speaking about that destruction that's come on Jerusalem. And he foretold. Matter of fact, Jesus was so clear about it, within one generation, within 40 years, this destruction that was going to come, Jesus was so clear about it that, I don't want to get too much into the history of this, but Josephus, a Jewish man who was writing for the Romans as a historian, he actually says that the siege that came upon Jerusalem, you know, God did some things where they moved in and then had to move out, but he said not one Christian died in that siege because the Christians were aware of the prophecy of Christ concerning it and they had followed his instructions and got out like he told them to. But Jesus was clear about this. Okay? And this Jewish system was going down. Now, God gave the Jews 40 years following the resurrection of Christ to get this figured out, what the new system is. Guys, God's a patient God. Aren't you thankful? You know, God's not slow about His promise. It's come as some count slowness, right? And He's not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So, Jesus is coming again. Now, Peter goes on in that context and he says, we regard the patience of God as our salvation. Aren't you thankful in your personal life for God's patience? God's patient. 40 years for these guys to get this new system figured out. But that old system was going to go away. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 8. You know, there's a saying in the world, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And maybe some of you guys that are a little older, maybe you find yourselves not super tech savvy. Okay? I always find it interesting. I'm in the middle. I'm not super tech savvy, but I'm kind of stuck in the middle where I have to know a little. But I always find it interesting trying to take older people and, you know, explain to them how a phone works or something. Okay? It's difficult, and in the work environment, I think particularly men can be very obstinate about some of this, and they don't want to switch over to the new system. And so you get a lot of times men who are stuck like doing stuff for 20 years because that's the way we've always done it, and I don't have any interest in learning the new way, and no I won't, this has always worked for me, why would we want something different? And what do you do with those guys? Okay. At some point, hopefully they catch on. A lot of them don't, so you either have to get rid of them or you kind of got to ride it out with them until they retire. That's kind of the way this works. Well, think about it. The big eternal system that God had, there's things He's doing in stages. And there's some people that got stuck in this old system, in this stage. And so God's got to do some things to try to get them to catch on to the new system. But at some point, they don't catch on. You got to do away with that old system, period. So you can't use it anymore. Hebrews chapter 8, just want to read verse 13. When He said a new covenant, He made the first obsolete. But whatever is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to disappear. Brown, there's a popular false doctrine going around today, and that is that it's trying to mix Christianity with the Old Testament. Okay? Still trying to have the Old Testament laws and rules, and this is what Christ wants us to do. Because Jesus did say in Matthew chapter 5, He said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Well, let's follow through on this thought, guys. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. Let's just take one example, the Lord's Supper. Where did the Lord's Supper come from? Old Testament Passover meal. That Passover meal was kept once a year, wasn't it? In reference to remembrance of the nation of Israel being set free from slavery to Egypt. But now, under the new covenant, and Jesus institutes this. Excuse me. It's interesting. Jesus institutes this while it's still under the old. He sets the stage for what's coming. So the very last, right before his crucifixion, he has the Passover meal with his disciples, with his apostles specifically. And he says, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you. But then, if you watch what he does, he turns it. And he says, I will not eat this again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. The fulfillment of that meal is the Lord's Supper that now we partake of every first day of the week in remembrance of Christ. In remembrance of being set free from, reference to what Mark was talking about, being set free from slavery to sin. So, do we still keep the Old Testament Passover? No, we keep the fulfillment of it. So Jesus didn't come to abolish it, he came to bring it to its fulfillment. Okay? But with that being the case, the Passover, the Jewish Passover, is obsolete, isn't it? Okay? That's the whole point. All of that Jewish system, guys, is obsolete. It led up to, and it was there for a reason, but led up to Christianity. So, I've tried to use this before, examples of DOS, and I'll just say Windows XP. I'm still trying to figure out. I got a question for you, Mr. Schaefer, later. I'm trying to run a virtual machine, and I want to make sure that I can do that still. But Windows XP, Windows just finally quit having up security updates. Because that's how people wanted to keep using it. Finally, they said, no more security updates for this. We're done. So, whatever problems you got, and people hack in, your problem. Well, that's basically what God did in 70 AD. He sent the Roman armies, destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, destroyed all the genealogical records, which, if you follow through, God keeps his own law. You could not have a physical priesthood anymore from the tribe of Levi and from those descendants without genealogical records. So God just basically said, smash, that's done. So that's what he's talking about back here in Romans chapter 11. A partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. And then he says, and thus all Israel will be saved. Brethren, I wanted to get to the next part, but this will be in a couple weeks. I'll just want to close today with all Israel will be saved. What does God mean by that? The church. He's talking about, every physical Jew who is supposed to be saved, yes, is going to get the opportunity. But when he says all Israel be saved, this is the church made up of both those who have been physical Israel and those who have been Gentiles. Now it's one Israel, spiritual Israel. Let me just give you a couple verses on that. Some of you have been through Romans. You've heard this a couple times. Some of us you haven't. Been here, and some of us we don't remember. So let's just go to a couple things real quickly in closing. Romans chapter 9. Verses 6 through 8. But it's not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. That means, when he says all Israel will be saved, it doesn't mean that every physical descendant from Jacob is going to be saved. They are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. Make sense? Some people say, all the Jews are going to become Christians. And a lot of people think of this sometime in the future. That's not what this verse is saying. They are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. Neither are they all children because they're Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac your descendants will be named. That is, and he clarifies in verse 8, it's not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. Let's flip back to Romans chapter 2. Verses 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God. I like the way Kevin Simpson asked this question. Who did you? According to Romans 2, you did you. Okay. Romans chapter 2 makes it clear the Christian is the true Jew. The Christian, because all Israel is going to be the nation. God's nation, God's church. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Remember from Romans 9 what we had just read? That it's the children of promise who are regarded as descendants. Galatians 3, I'll just do 20, I'm going to do 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are immersed into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free man, there's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. We could go all sorts of directions with this. I encourage you, if you have questions about this, come see me. I also encourage you, read 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about the priesthood under the new covenant. Remember the old covenant? The only priests could be those who were of the tribe of Levi, and specifically the family of Aaron. Okay? Jesus himself couldn't be a priest under that old covenant system. 1 Peter 2 talks about Jesus being the stone that was rejected by the builders. And he talks about us being built up as this spiritual temple. We also as living stones. And he talks about us being this royal priesthood. Wow, I could preach for a long time on this, but Hebrews chapter 7 makes the point Jesus is priest according to the order of Melchizedek by the power of his indestructible life. Guys, we're going to be priests under that order. Okay, this royal priesthood. If you get down a few more verses in 1 Peter chapter 2, it's going off the top of my head somewhere like verse 9, it says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You look who 1 Peter's written to. It's written to a bunch of Gentile Christians. But you are a holy nation. As the nation of Israel, when all Israel is going to be saved, he's talking about Jews who become Christians and Gentiles who become Christians. That's all Israel who are going to be saved. We're going to talk more about the deliverer who comes from Zion next time. All right, let's stand. Who's coming to the picnic today? Raise your hand. Ooh, yeah. All right. Bring a friend. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for calling us into your family. That we do get to reside in your house. What a blessing it is. What a privilege it is. Lord, there's no place else we want to be. We are your bondservants, Lord. You died for us. You're going to live and die for you. He's thankful for your church, the body of Christ, the fellowship that we have. We're excited about the mission that you've given to us to seeking to save those who are lost, to help bring light to those who are in darkness, to bring that ministry of reconciliation to those who have separated themselves from you without hope, Lord, in this world. So we're appreciative that you've made us ministers of this new covenant. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the rest of this day, that you'd be glorified. Pray that you keep us safe at the picnic today. It'd be a great time of fellowship and opportunity to meet new people. Lord, may you be glorified through us, your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.